You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Welcome back, Dojo Disciples. You may have noticed that we've skipped a number for this episode, but worry not. We'll be returning after a little bit because we have special news involved in this episode. So please enjoy. This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, we talk about our experiences with Nintendo's new online service, tease some tricks for downloading that sweet Japanese content, somehow the limited run games release of Night Trap is already on our pile of shame, and Vink has an announcement.
Hey, Sean.
God, stupid curveballs can't... Oh, hey, Vink.
Are you playing baseball?
Oh, no. I'm playing Pokemon Go. I'm trying to get catch 108 Pokemon for my mythical research, and it's just not... How are you doing?
What? Oh, sorry. Oh, just get in that egg! Oh, wow. That relays how little I know about Pokemon. You don't put things in eggs, do you? No. I get you. I've been playing Pokemon Go, too. You know, whenever some research thing for throwing two curveballs in a row comes up, I just delete it because I know that's not going to happen.
So. Oh, no. Yeah, I hear you. It's usually not worth it anyway.
No.
Whatever you get out of that.
Oh my gosh, I hate it when you're like trying to get something and like they're like, okay, here's your reward. It's a very low level Pokemon you already have.
Yeah, that's great.
Perhaps we should include our listeners in our discussion.
Oh yeah, hey, how's it going, people?
Yeah, we've been away for a long time because we've been busy playing Pokemon Go.
It's basically the only thing I do. Like no lie. Ever since our two podcasts ago, when it was my future retro, and I got the Pokemon Go Plus bracelet thing, I have maybe missed 2 days of playing this game. So it's been a while.
I'm not sure if I'm that deep in, but yeah. There's a mixture of joy and pride when you do joy, pride, and shame when you do 7 days in a row. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's like, yay, I did 7 days in a row. I made the effort to walk to. There's no Pokestop right near me, so I have to make the effort. I have to find excuses to go to the post office. When you send me gifts and you don't get one back right away, it's because I wasn't able to go to the post office. Or I was, but during the one time a day I was able to go there, I didn't get a gift. So, sorry. For the people who don't play Pokemon Go, just don't worry about it. I mean,
yeah.
I know this part won't make much sense, but it's an addictive game that I have spent no money on, so I take pride in that. But the fact that Yes, I have spent no money on this game whatsoever, but due to that fact, I've wasted hundreds of hours, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Like, there's, like, sometimes I'll be like, I feel like I'm earning money when I beat a gym battle and get some coins coming back. But like what I could have done was I could have spent a dollar and saved myself an hour and a half. You know, you have to be a bit of a masochist to play Pokemon Go or rich.
Right. And I am at least one of those things and probably not at all the other. I have spent money on this game, however, but it was for a very good reason. I mean, I that was kind of my thing was I wasn't going to spend any money on it, but you know, because I didn't even buy the watch, right?
Yeah.
So, but no, I spent about $5 on it around the time that you could walk
a bunch of eggs and get Pokemon that weren't in your geographical region typically.
Oh, okay.
And so even after you traded me that much coveted Farfetch'd, I might have three or four more.
Wow.
Yeah. And mostly hatched from eggs that you sent me, funnily enough.
Oh, that's nice.
But I got two Mr. Mimes and no Kangaskhan, so I'm a little upset about that. But yeah, I had a lot of coins hanging out in my inventory for a while, so I didn't feel the need to go out as much. So
yeah.
Anyone who's listening who is on my friends list and has seen me slow down, I'm sorry. When you climb up to 40 friends and stop biking around town everywhere to hit the really good Pokestops, there's only so many to go around. It's cold now. I broke my leg biking last year. I don't want to break the other one.
Well, as long as you didn't break it playing Pokemon Go, I think that's the real cost of Pokemon Go is all the traffic accidents and things like that. So
yes, it's much easier to play on the bus.
Kids, don't play Pokemon Go.
Yeah, so don't. I usually stop. I know where the stops are.
Yep,
I can stop, but then it takes me twice as long to get home. So
I live in the sticks in Japan, so there are not many Pokestops near me, and the places that do have them are places I don't go on a regular basis, and when I do, I'm usually with my family, and I try to avoid playing when I should be, like, I don't know, watching my children or having a conversation with loved ones.
Yes.
That's my problem. I'm never going to be a really good Pokemon Go player because I have too many loved ones.
See, and it's just thinking like that that's going to keep everyone. No, I understand what you're saying.
I need that watch thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I really should. Anyway.
I literally just replaced the batteries today. Got myself a 4-pack because it was much cheaper.
There you go. But I mean, we kid saying that the reason we haven't had a podcast in a very long time is because of we've been playing nothing but Pokemon Go, and it's not completely true.
Mm-hmm.
We've been ridiculously busy. One of the reasons I really wanted to do a podcast this week is I think it might be my last chance for a little while because number 4 is on the way.
Oh, yeah. 4th generation Pokemon are actually already out, so you should be really busy already.
Oh, you. I have a 4th child on the way, so.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
and it really could be any day right now. In fact, if you're hearing a lot of echo, that's because I'm recording from the kitchen so that I can be close at hand. I usually record in the somewhat soundproof den of shame. But I want to be available because it really could be any time now. So if this podcast ends suddenly, please wish me a congratulations.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm sure I'll keep the ball running, as it were, afterward.
Yeah.
Explain what's going on. But yeah, congratulations ahead of time, because possibly by the time this podcast comes out, there'll be another little vinkling.
It might be. And that, I mean, should... tell you that we apologize for not getting a lot of the videos going. We had intentions to do more, but between work and new child and various other things that I don't really want to go into, but things slowed down. We have actually recorded a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. I have raw footage for 3 different videos right now. I just haven't had time to get to the process of editing them together. We've got a collaboration coming up, which I won't reveal until we're a little bit closer to it.
Yes, I'm hoping to get the tease for that filmed very soon.
I've got a video on some more junky Famicom clones and their built-in games. That's coming up.
Ooh.
But it's going to be a long one. I've got over an hour and a half of footage. I want to try to cut it down to about 40 minutes. It's still going to be long.
Nah.
Maybe a 2-parter.
Ooh, yeah, because that's going to be our longest yet at that point.
Yep. Oh. Yep. Ooh. I got a couple unboxings coming up for some things that I've picked up over the. Oh my gosh, some of these are multiple years old that I've left boxed. This is a problem. You know what I mean? When you sure. look at your game collection and you're like, wow, look at all these games that are still in their shrink wrap. I'm like, I should play this. And then I'm like, wait, no. Open it on a video. This is a right. collector's edition. Right. You should open it for a video. You know what I should do? I should stop buying collector's editions. Then I won't feel opener's guilt. Is that a thing?
I think so. I mean,
opener's guilt, yeah.
I still have the Famicom Mini that that you gave to me when you were in the yeah. States a couple months ago, and I have yeah. not opened it yet precisely
Dude,
because it's supposed to be for a video.
No, I agree. I haven't opened either of the Super Famicoms for the same reason. Like the Super Famicom or the one you brought me that I wait, that you brought me that I brought back?
Right. We were supposed to use it in a video yep. and then we didn't.
Yep. So you sent it to you had
yes.
someone bring it up to me.
Yes.
And then I brought it back to America yes. to use for a video, which we didn't. And then I brought it back. Ugh. Speaking of that, we still have some footage for an Heart of the Alien video, right?
Yes. I am waiting until the Out of This World / Another World video is done. But
okay.
like all the footage is recorded for that. I think all the audio is done. We have another one coming out for Star Fox.
Yep.
Star Fox 2, I should say. And then we released one already for Super Smash TV.
Yes.
And both that and the Heart of the Alien one, we actually live streamed on YouTube and
yes,
Facebook
yes.
respectively, I believe. So if you want to go, if you're starved now, go to the Facebook page and or the YouTube channel, and you can see those things there.
You'd have to be pretty starving though. This is not filet mignon. I mean, this
no,
is
no, but I mean the complete,
this is a trough of baked beans.
Oh goodness. the complete edited super Russian roulette Super Smash TV is out. So that's the last thing we released actually. I was working on a Retron 5 video that I was yeah. finally able to get completely filmed. I just have some post left to do on it, and it's
nice,
ready to
nice.
Go. Yeah, I decided I need to make it a little nicer, so that completely borked the schedule I was on, and then real life got in the way for a while. So, but we're back.
It'll yeah, we. I mean, I'm gonna try to do some little things. Oh, I also have another Sarah Plays video that's been fully recorded, but 0% edited.
Oh,
so.
Sure. See, so we have lots and lots and lots we want to share, lots we want to do still,
yep.
and we'll be doing, hopefully, in the near future.
Yeah. And we apologize for not being a little more regular with our videos, but, I mean, thank you everyone who's stuck with us and through all the years we've been doing this, and you know, I think we're going to be able to get back on a regular schedule fairly soon. And this podcast is just a way of getting the ball rolling, let you know we're still alive and we're still doing some stuff. And sorry for not a ton of content, but anyone who's been a fan of us for a while knows that this is neither unusual nor rare.
Yeah, although regularity has some downfalls, so in order to at least keep something going, I've been putting up, you know, like snippets of podcasts or
yep.
or promos for older videos that were like on the Powit.tv channel from ages ago
yep.
that no one subscribes to anymore and no one
yep.
watches, and there were so many complaints. Just
yeah.
so many complaints. Oh yes, it's yeah. like why this was a good video 8 years ago. I mean, yeah, true, but it's still a good video now, and there are lots and lots of people in the world who haven't seen it. I mean, you know, 22,000 views sounds like a lot until you consider there's 7 billion people in the world. So why,
yep.
why don't you just share the promo with a friend? And then we can get that much more closer to the 7.2 billion or whatever it is.
The way I see it, we've crossed, what, 8,000 subscribers now?
Seven. Seven on,
seven
on both channels apiece,
oh.
so a combined 14,000. But I
yeah,
have
whatever.
No way of knowing what how many duplicates there are.
I'm guessing it's going to be 7,050. But regardless, when you see a promo up, it's for the other 7 billion people.
Yes.
Who perfect. Hopefully will subscribe in the future. But anyway, not to complain to the people who are actually watching our video. Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks to on. Seth Rogen, yep. First of all, before I forget.
Oh yes.
We got some pretty sweet traffic via articles discussing a tweet that Seth Rogen made about, hey, did you know that you can control the ducks and Duck Hunt with a controller?
And we happen to be the first video about that.
Yep, number one on YouTube.
Or the top video about that, yeah.
So who the heck linked that? I want to say Engadget, but oh, that's embarrassing if I'm wrong.
Well, anyway, Seth Rogen, if you're listening to this, which surely you are.
You must be.
We're up for a collab if you are. You know.
Definitely.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We think you finally proved your mettle to, you know, put right. a video together. So I think you're up to the level where Famicom Dojo would be willing to, you know, As long as we had most of the control of the video, you know, we don't want you going off the rails.
No, I mean, you know, you did prove your retro metal with that little tidbit. So your audition, you've passed, sir.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to our main topic. What was it?
Again? I sometimes worry that people think we're serious when we're saying these things, like. They think Nintendo's listening.
Those poor deluded fools.
They think they're better at making videos than Seth Rogen. They think the cake is a lie. Anyway.
But
wow.
The cake is not
a lie.
Oh my
gosh, that reference is how many years old now?
Quite,
oh my goodness.
Quite old. I'm still waiting for Shenmue 3 to come out and make me feel super old. It should be any day now. I gave the Kickstarter my information, so.
Yep. They just wanted to know who they were disappointing and where they live.
Oh, just punch me in the face in person.
No, I'm very much. Are you getting the HD remakes? Are you gonna play those in anticipation of the game?
I probably shouldn't, because I'll never come
back.
Why is
that?
I'll never just. Well, let's cover that when we talk about Pile of Shame later on.
Yeah, I got another HD remake Pile of Shame to talk about.
Oh,
as well.
Oh, no. All right, sounds good. So, yeah, let's get started, I guess.
All right.
Yes, you can sponsor the Famicom Dojo video game podcast. Just head over to littlepodcast.com, find Famicom Dojo, and click on the sponsor button. Make sure you email us a message at podcast@famicomdojo.tv so we can read your message on the show. We'll try to make this more straightforward soon, I promise.
Our topic today is the ups, downs, and ups and downs of the now paid Nintendo Online Network.
Oh, that was
an experience. Is it called Nintendo Online? Is it called Nintendo Online Network? I don't know.
No. I mean, is Zod next? I don't understand what their naming scheme really is supposed to mean.
I'm not sure. Because the Nintendo Network, I think, is just their... Well, no, wait. The eShop is their store. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm paying for it now.
Yes.
I'm paying about $35 right now.
Oh, so am I. What a coincidence.
Oh, you decided to go for the family plan.
Oh, goodness. I have a whole story to tell you about that.
Okay. Should we start with the story, or do you want to go over just a bit of general information?
Yeah, let's do the general information first, and then we'll explain why I had to pay almost twice as much for the same privilege.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay. So Nintendo Network. So Nintendo Online has been free for the Wii U, and the start of the Switch generation. Now, for the Switch generation, we always knew from the beginning, they always said that it was going to be paid in the future, but they kept pushing it back, and we kind of took it for granted that it would continue to be free. Now, they don't charge much. I mean,
no.
compared to, like, you know, PSN or Xbox Live, it's a lot cheaper. What's PSN for a year?
For a year, I don't know. I paid $15 a month for I don't remember how long because I kept forgetting to cancel it. So,
okay, that adds up.
That's bad. I did the same thing with City of Heroes, though.
I did the same thing with FARC. Do you remember FARC? Does FARC exist anymore?
I don't think so.
Is that a thing? I mean,
was it ever a thing?
It was a thing. Yeah, I used to go on that every day, and then like Twitter came out, which kind of did the same thing for free. But I didn't cancel for like 4 years because I kind of forgot.
Yeah. See, that's exactly how these things work.
So it costs money now, and at first I was considering passing. I really was because I don't play online games much.
Okay.
I really don't.
Okay.
I mean, I played a lot of Splatoon, and I still enjoy that. But like, you know, for me, the idea of maybe I'd buy for a month and then not for a while, you know, would be kind of an appealing solution for me. Because I really only play online games when I have like a wide break, you know, Christmas,
right,
vacation, Golden Week, summer break, you know. That's when I play online games. The rest of the time, I just don't. However, my daughter is a Splatoon head.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me little choice, but I still held off for a little while. But then they did the Famicom thing.
Oh.
And it's not as good as it should be. It really isn't.
Right.
But it is kind of good. Does that make sense?
Sure. And like, you know, my first thought is, oh, we can just play these games on your Famicom Mini. But can you play online with friends? I don't think so.
No, although I haven't yet. I mean, I haven't taken advantage of that
yet.
But,
sure.
But, I mean, two things about the advantages of doing this on the Switch rather than the Famicom Mini. First of all, it's already hooked up. It's already ready to go.
Right.
You know, with the online and everything. And and there'll be titles added to that.
And the second reason is
that I haven't done the unboxing video of my Famicom Mini yet, so I can't take it out of the box.
Darn it.
Oh.
Maybe we should coordinate so we don't, like, repeat each other.
Yeah, we really... but anyway, what I thought was really cool, and here's a plus. Here's a plus for the service. If you have it in one region, you have it in every region.
Yeah.
I was really worried because I have a Japanese account, but my daughter's account and my other account are American accounts because that's, you know, for Splatoon, for example, there's no English language on the cassette, so I have to. By cassette, I mean cartridge. Sorry, in Japan they call them cassettes. That's very confusing, but. But anyway, so I was like, oh, am I going to have to buy this network twice?
Mm-hmm.
But no. If you buy it once, it goes for any region, and which makes it really cool that since I have the Japanese account as well, I can download the Famicom app along with the NES one.
Yeah, and it's super-duper easy.
Yep. The library is all right. You know what? We should do a video on how to do that.
Hey, would you be surprised to learn that I've already recorded all the game footage necessary to do so?
I would be a little surprised to do that. But I'm not surprised that since you have recorded the video, it hasn't come out yet. That's the unsurprising.
Yeah, that's not completely unsurprising.
That would be great, though. Because everyone should do this because... Right now, the libraries are pretty much identical. You know, the game selection is the same. However,
more or less,
if you go for the Famicom version, not more or less. They are identical. It's the same games exactly.
Okay.
But hopefully, they diverge in the future. But the advantage of is even though they're identical games, for some of them, the Famicom versions have the Famicom Disk System versions.
They do, but I popped in Zelda, and it doesn't have the loading screen. I mean, it's there, but it's just blank instead of saying, you know, please wait.
Yeah.
It's very
upsetting.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, they do that. That's fine. But at least it has the FM music. So
there is that. Yes, 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 yes.
And I think that's very cool. And that means that your Metroid game you can save, although it doesn't really matter anymore because you have save state anywhere you want in the game. That's another cool thing.
Yes. Absolutely.
And screenshot sharing and things like that. And they keep adding games to it. Oh my gosh. I was playing Super Dodgeball the other day. Have you ever played that? Like in Japan, it's like Kunio-kun's Dodgeball or whatever.
I think I have a copy.
It's ridiculously fun, but wow. Like when you're playing on a CRT, I mean, there's definitely flicker. There is, but you notice it a lot more on an HDTV. Like, it seems, or maybe it's just my memory. Because I remember playing this game as a kid, and I do not remember it being so flickery. But maybe that's just the nostalgia goggles.
Mm-hmm.
You should play it, though. It's super. We should play it together. We should do it on stream.
We could do that.
We could do that, couldn't we?
We could do that.
We should do that.
Ooh, all right. All right. It's a mandate. Because it's wow. Double entendre.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, let's do that sometime. Because you haven't played it before?
No, not really. I mean, I think I played it enough to see how, like, the Famicom multiplayer aspect of it worked, but that was about it.
Oh, then don't play it. And then it can be your first time playing through. And then okay. I stand a chance.
Oh, God. Okay.
Then I stand a chance. But they're adding games every month to it so far. And my hope is that once they... I haven't seen Urban Championship yet. So that's Urban Champion yet. So I'm sure that's coming. But my hope is that to keep people interested in the service, they eventually move it towards... Super Famicom games?
Right.
Yeah. We have the technology. It's just a matter of whether they're going to do it. But my guess is, like, if subs go down at all, they're going to do that. They don't need to right now because the price is cheap.
It is. It is. Except for you and me.
Yeah. I mean, you get very little from it. You know, you get those online Famicom games, but they're Famicom games that I already have and that most people have played to death. But you also get to not be blocked out of your games that you could previously play for free.
Right. Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, you also, this new stuff, you got the online cloud saves, which I have not taken advantage of yet, but
I got to buy those controllers. Yeah.
What now?
Oh, you get a special deal as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you are subscribed, you can buy those special Famicom-looking controllers.
Yeah, but for is it like $60 a pair?
That's and you're limited to one.
Right. Well, just for the pre-order, I'm sure that when they go on sale to everybody, assuming you can buy them. But, you know,
are they going to go on sale to everybody?
That's a great question. I would assume so, but maybe I shouldn't make that assumption.
This is the same company that released like 8 GameCube adapters to the entire world. You know, I mean, so you know, and had made 9 Famicom, you know, NES minis for the first print run. You know what I mean?
Okay, fair enough. But for $60, I might just pass because why would I want a pair of Joy-Cons that are less functional than a regular pair for just $20 less.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many like third party solutions too, like the 8 video or something, or I don't know. There's all kinds of companies that are making or adapters to use existing controllers and stuff like that. But still, they look so neat and they slide right on the side. They look so neat.
I know
they don't look $60 neat though.
Yeah, probably not.
They look $40 neat.
I agree with that. Now, like, if we both did purchase this, would we be willing to swap one of them with each? And who would get which Famicom controller? Because it matters.
Well, I need the one with the microphone, obviously.
Fair enough. All right, well.
Does it have a microphone?
I mean, I'm sure it has molding for one, but the Famicom main doesn't actually have a microphone on it, for instance. I'm sure it's about the same size, though.
Yeah.
Just going to put that out there.
So do you think a N64 Mini is going to happen next year?
Oh, good Lord. I don't know. I mean, what would people... Blast Core! Woo! Quest 64!
We wouldn't get Blast Core.
I mean, yeah, fair enough, but...
Rare, yeah.
Still.
I mean, it would have Zelda, it would have Mario 64, it would have... A lot of the classic games have licensing behind them, you know what I mean? Because it wouldn't have GoldenEye for two different reasons.
Oh, yep. But, like, you know, I think there'd be fewer games, maybe 10 tops, 12 if we're lucky, because the Super NES and Super Famicom Classic only had 20, well, plus Star Fox 2. And then,
well, but the PlayStation Mini is going to have 20.
Yeah, but that's not a Nintendo product.
Oh, yeah. But, I think that's pretty cool that thing is cool, although I don't know if I'm going to buy that. That's what is it? It's $100 with 20 games, and it looks cool. But the controllers that they have from are like not DualShocks.
Yeah,
they're like the original PlayStation controller, which is fine. But like that was never a particularly comfortable controller.
I actually forgot that the DualShocks was not the original controllers. Like after a while, it's like, oh yes, that's right. And then you know when I was picking up controllers to make sure I had complete collections, that was like, I have to make sure I get them without the sticks, because that was the thing. But this is about Nintendo.
Yes.
Nintendo.
Yes, let's go back. I like non-Nintendo things.
I do. I do too.
But yeah, this is about the Nintendo Network. So.
Yes.
Okay. On the surface... If you are, you know, just a gamer and you want to play the games, it's $20 a year, which is not a lot of money. That works out to what, like $1.50 a month or something?
It's pretty affordable. Not that that's
a little more than that. A little more than that.
$1.67. Well,
nice.
1.66666 repeating, and yeah.
But anyway, it's chump change. You know, it's not right. It's not a lot. I mean, you don't get a lot, but you don't pay a lot. So it's kind of like, you know, it's livable. However, let's talk about our situation.
Oh goodness, yes. Should I go?
Yeah, you said you had a story.
Sure, okay. So this is one of those things where it did kind of sneak up on me, but I knew it was coming, but I wasn't really paying attention. Just like one of my kids happened to mention to me that they couldn't do any online battles in Splatoon 2. And I'm like, oh, why is that? Oh, no, it finally happened, didn't it? And this led to some consternation on my part. Because I knew... They were playing under an account I had made just for them, and in my mind, it was probably going to be enough for them to all share one, because only one of them really plays online for that game anyway. But their interests are starting to diverge a bit, and also converge at the same time, so I don't think that was going to be a sustainable model going forward. I definitely didn't want them playing on my account, so I opted for the family plan, which lets you add seven total or seven other accounts?
It's eight total, yeah.
Okay, so eight total accounts under your quote-unquote family. In the cases of my kids, you can actually set up child accounts under your main account, which I think was a thing prior to the Nintendo Network and didn't know I could do.
Yep.
So, whoops, my bad. So, poor kids. I think they got to like level 13 of Splatoon 2, and I'm like, hey guys, I think you are all going to need to start over. But you get your own accounts, and then you can do your own advancement, and you get to pile this cool weapons again.
Why couldn't their account transfer over?
Because they didn't have child accounts before. They were adults. Under my birthday.
Ah. Mm-hmm. But But couldn't you know. But like I transferred my wife's account over.
Right, I can add it, but they really liked the idea of all having their own personalized accounts.
Yeah, they still could have. You know, you can just invite them to whatever email address you use to make their account.
Well, what ended up happening was I converted that particular account into my Japanese one.
Ah, okay.
So there was that. But yeah, what is cool about these child accounts, though, is that when your kids do turn 18, although in this case, I mean, who knows how long this service will last, but
well,
allegedly, once they turn 18, they should be able to convert them into fully adult accounts, and it should be able to keep all of their information. And if you're still paying for the online service, I imagine all their cloud saves would transfer over to any other future device that they would have. So my kids are a lot younger than
most. Oh, yeah, cloud saves. I forgot about that. Yeah. Clouds get cloud saves, too. Although not with every game. So Splatoon is one of those that doesn't have cloud saves.
What? Dang it.
Because people would be able to exploit it.
I suppose. But like all your data's kind of saved on their servers anyway, right?
One would assume, but I don't know.
All right. Well, regardless, this ended up working out pretty well, and everyone gets, especially when we're doing Splatfests, because they get to pick their own teams now, and they don't have to like fight over which one they need to pick. So,
that's nice.
You know, poor Avery was on the losing side of the trick or treat this last time.
It happens.
So, you know, that I had to write this wrong to make sure that my kids could play online. And you know, not that they would have gotten used to it if they couldn't. Because especially with that game, they do like playing the challenges. Some more than others. So there were avenues for them to continue playing, but okay. I mean they've been getting really good. Like
yeah, my daughter's really good. She made fun of me when I played it. She's like, "Dad, come on, don't warp there. You're gonna get splatted immediately." And I'm like, "I know what I'm doing," mm-hmm. And I got splatted immediately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one.
And she's like, "Just give me that," and I'm like, "No, this is not, no." Oh, I mean, it was bound to happen. But
yeah, one of them's already almost five, but is also pretty good, so I'm a little intimidated, to be honest. And he also wanted to be a Squid Kid for Halloween, so we just finished up his
we did that a couple years ago. Did I ever show you the pictures from
that? I think I might have seen some.
Yeah, we did that back when Splatoon was kind of new, so a lot of people were like, right, what is that? Which would not happen in Japan. Now everybody knows Splatoon now. But you know what, our kids should exchange friend codes.
You know what? I think that's a great idea.
Let's do that. Okay. Let's do that.
I think I've actually gotten a friend request from some rando. I got to figure out who it is. He doesn't know what friend requests are, so he hasn't checked it yet. But
I noticed the
icon was lighting up.
You'll get them from just people you play with online.
Sure.
I mean that happens all the time. I tell Sar to reject any ones from anybody she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is wise. I mean, there's almost no interaction here, but as they get older.
Right.
And there is a chat app now, so.
Right.
Luckily, from a parent's perspective, it's almost impossible to use.
Oh, no. I haven't even bothered to try, but.
Because you have to have a smartphone, and you have to have it linked up to this app, and blah, 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 blah. Like other companies are like, Let's just have voice chat on the system. The system has a microphone and stuff, you know. Well, it doesn't,
right.
But I mean, like, you know, you could put on a headset or whatever. Wouldn't that be easy? And Nintendo's like, no. That, not enough wires. So, I don't care about voice chat at all unless we're podcasting about playing Super Dodgeball. Which
right.
I think we should still do,
yeah.
But other than that, I really don't care. I don't want to know what terrible, terrible things these other gamers are going to say to me. So, you know.
Well, I sometimes I do wish that I could tell the rest of my team when we're playing Rainmaker to like, hey, defend me, follow me to the goal. Like, come on, guys. I'm out here all alone. What are you doing? Anyway.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. Isn't there a button that you're supposed to do for, like, come on, guys, or something?
No, I guess that there are alternatives. But, you know, yelling at children is probably a lot more fun, I imagine.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Anyway, more
like getting yelled at by children.
Oh, yeah, that would be exactly it. They'd be like, come on, old man. Oh, we're old now, man.
Oh, dude, I didn't even wanna. I just turned 38 about a month ago.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm ahead of you there, but not by much.
Ah, yes.
So I'll try to notice you because I am your senpai.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
that's
man.
Exactly what a Famicom Dojo is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, yeah. It's been,
oh my goodness,
it's been a long 12. Anyway,
well, I mean, if you consider it, like we've lasted through about 3 to 4 normal popular YouTubers implosions. You know what
that's,
I mean? Like,
that's true.
Like, we haven't at any point gone and deleted all of our videos or you know, said something that made us lose advertising revenue. We lose advertising revenue because we're not popular.
Yeah, we've made tens and tens of dollars.
Oh, yes, yes.
Throughout all of this.
But luckily, we have no grasp of reality. I mean,
yes.
Because like, I will still go to the store and buy something for a video, knowing full well that this video will never make a tenth of the money back for how much the thing cost. But like, it's nice to lie to myself in such a way that I can go, this isn't an indulgence, it's an investment.
That's right.
Right?
I mean, how long ago now did I pay for that Sega CD? Oh boy, I don't want to think about it. Anyway, you know, sometimes you never know. Seth Rogen might come along and
that's very
make
true.
Make your video really that's popular, and then that video will earn $10 just by itself.
But you know what? But I mean, just think about it though. We must actually really love what we're doing though, because we're definitely not in it for the money. Or if we are, we're idiots.
Yes, it has to be one or the other.
Yes, yes. Please leave a message in our comments deciding which one it is. we'd love to know whether you think that we are charming and working very hard for the love of the game, or are barking up the wrong tree. Either way, we're going to keep doing this because we like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Nintendo Network, it's very controversial. It is.
It is.
One of the things is cloud saves is behind a paywall, which the other consoles offer an alternative to do that for free. Mm. You know, being able to back up saves to an SD card is definitely something Nintendo could allow.
And does for the 3DS.
And does for the 3DS, and did for previous platforms, but does not allow for the Nintendo Network. It would definitely be nice if there was a bit more variety for the, because you know, if you're getting the Xbox Live Gold, whatever, you know, you're getting free games every month. Same with PlayStation Network,
that you don't have to quote unquote give back once your membership expires. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you do.
You do?
The PlayStation ones.
Oh, yeah, the PlayStation ones, yeah. But I thought the Xbox ones you didn't.
I think some of them you don't. I'm not sure. I sat this generation of Xbox out.
Me too, and I'm a little sad about it.
I don't know. I don't know. This is definitely the Switch generation for me. You know, last gen, I bought all the consoles last gen and enjoyed them because they were unique enough and had enough variety. But since I'm not really into AAA multi-platform Western games, there's very little that's compelling me to play anything other than Switch this generation. There's a few. As I said, you know, Shenmue 3 is coming up. That's definitely going to pull me back in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple other, you know, PlayStation 4 exclusives that I'd love to dive into. But every time that I think there's the games that are like, oh, okay, this justifies the PlayStation 4, they keep getting announced for Switch as well. Like, I was going to, you know, Valkyria Chronicles 4, that was going to be my game because I'm like, okay, that's a game that I'm going to play on PlayStation 4. Then it came out, and I'm like, I'll just play it on the Switch because then I'll actually beat it.
Right.
I mean, that's really the thing is. It's like, which do I want, the pretty graphics or the potential to actually complete the game? Because that's the choice between the two for me at this point in my life.
And now, a haiku. Searching for players, but the connection won't load. Quick, my credit card.
Do we want to go into Pile of Shame, Future Retro?
Yeah, let's hop on over there.
Okay. Let's get in the pile of shame mobile and drive to the point of shame. Vroom,
the point vroom. Of no return.
The point of, I don't know. I just thought we needed more sound effects in our podcast.
Oh, goodness.
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time. Or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing. And we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
You can throw a sound effect over that. Right. There you go.
All right. Oh, you mean a real one.
Was that a horse?
I was trying to throttle down.
Is it close enough to you that it's within horse distance?
God.
Because I have to take a motor vehicle to get to my shame. So.
Oh, dear. No, it's all here. Staring me in the face every day. my latest, I have been paying for limited run games, and I don't think I've opened a single one yet.
Oh my goodness, how many limited run games do I have right now? Okay, I got Thimbleweed Park, I've got Mercenary Kings, Night Trap, Thumper. I just pre-ordered Broken Age.
That's right. I did that too.
Oxenfree. Did you catch Oxenfree?
I didn't. I love Oxenfree, but I couldn't justify it.
No. Gosh, there's more. There's so many more. But that's the thing. You order them and you kind of forget about them. And then it's like, hey, a game. Well, stick that on the pile.
I know. Oh, God. Well, you know, I made sure to order for you that Thimbleweed Park Feely edition.
Yes. Yep,
so you got to unbox that on a video.
Oh, I will. I will,
dude.
Definitely.
But that's the exact thing that you meant, you know. You get the special editions and you never open them.
Well, a lot of the other things is a lot of these games I have actually. Oh, Saturday Morning RPG. That's another one. Anyway, a lot of these games I already have bought because they are games that I'm interested in, which I assumed at the time digital was the only possible way to get them.
Right, 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 right.
And then Limited Run comes up and says, "Hey, you know that game you really love? Would you like it on a physical?" And I'm like, "Nah, I'm good." And then a couple days later, I'm like, "But what if the network goes down? What if something happens and I can't play that game again?
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it look nice on my shelf?"
Mm-hmm.
And then they get me again. I think I'm away, but they just bring me back. And I mean, I've been better. At first I was buying pretty much everything they put out, and now I'm, you know, just the ones that I really want to play, you know.
Well, I missed this particular title the first time when it was on PS4, I believe.
Yeah.
And I was kicking myself, but now I've gotten it for Switch.
Oh, what game?
Night Trap.
Shame.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, this game is an important piece of gaming history. The very fact that it's on a Nintendo system already proves how Howard Lincoln a dirty, filthy, stinking liar.
Hey, he was good to Nestor.
God.
Going back to the Nintendo Power comics.
Howard, I know you're listening. I'm sorry. You're my bro.
But like that, actually, that's the most successful tweet I've ever made. I took a picture of my Night Trap game and I put up the quote from Howard Lincoln about how it would never appear on a Nintendo system. Mm-hmm. And our good friend at Little Podcast Network, Justin, tweeted the remainder of the quote because it didn't fit in. But I got so many likes and so many retweets for that. By the way, if you're not subscribed, I'm at Famicom Vink.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, one of my favorite replies to that was, hold my beer for 25 years.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, still, that's, you know.
Yeah.
That's how they make whiskey. You know, put them in the barrels.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right. How many times before this have you bought Night Trap, though?
Zero. I actually had considered buying a complete boxed copy for
the 32X, right?
32X, and I didn't do it because it was like $80 or $90.
Yeah, it's a pretty rare one.
That's nuts. So I didn't do it. So I'm like, well, you know, it was like 30 or 35. I can't remember how much it was. Like much better on the Switch. You know, HD for whatever that's worth. You know, I can stream it. I can record it more easily. It'll be a better experience than playing. Because, oh, man, for those who didn't watch the live stream of us getting games set up, I had such a hard time getting my Super Famicom to work. And then the Sega CD wasn't too bad, but there are lots of cords and stuff involved.
You ever get that fixed?
I haven't tried to investigate it.
Ooh.
But like, you know, in the midst of all of this, I was also trying to record footage from Doom 32X. Which required having a bunch of other cables hooked up. Wherein I also learned, by the way, that if you use the original Model 1 Genesis, you're hosed because you only get mono sound, which is part of the problem I was running into. But ultimately, I was having a really hard time getting the video and sound to work at the same time. So forget that.
Well, it took me forever to get my Sega CD set up here too, because it's like RF only. I couldn't believe that.
What? Oh no.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the up to the CD system was enough that they would have had, like, you know, RCA plugs, you know, the red and yellow and, you know, white ones, but it doesn't. It has nice audio outputs to hook up to a speaker system, the Sega CD system itself, but to get video, you still have to go through RF, which is hard.
That's horrible.
So I was having tons of problems because there was so much noise going on as well. Like I finally got it hooked up, and I've been playing some Gunstar Heroes recently. It was a bear to get set up.
And you had the model too, right?
Yeah, I got the Model 2.
Yeah, I think that's the big difference. So the Model 1, for those who didn't see our video or haven't seen a Model 1 at all, is like a, you know, like a the typical CD tray, you know. Whatever. And instead of the one that I'm used to, which is sits on the side and you just pop it open and
see, I knew our podcast would be better with more sound effects.
Yeah, see, I'm real good. We're good at that.
Anyway,
so for those who don't know what Night Trap is, oh goodness, it caused a kerfuffle. I mean, I don't think Tipper Gore could have been more angry.
Well, I mean, Night Trap, knowing the history of Night Trap is knowing the history of the industry. It's really amazing. I mean, this thing was originally made for a system that never even came out.
Oh, what was that?
Was it called the Nemo? I believe that's what it was.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Was it supposed to actually use videotape? Is that how
that
works?
It was going to use VHS video. And it was – so that's why everything was so campy, like 80s throwback when it came out in 1992 for the Sega CD, because it was recorded in the 80s. It was recorded 87, I think, 89. I don't know. But it was going to be for the Control Vision made by Hasbro, which I think had the – I think the code name was like the Nemo or something. But like –
sure.
It I could be wrong on that. But regardless, it was one of the titles that was made. Sewer Shark has that same origin too. They were going to be games that were going to be it is the Nemo. So they were going to have a VHS technology system that basically ran kind of, I think, similar to an 8-track, so they'd be able to just switch. The video streams while the game was running. I'm not entirely sure. But I think it was trying to be basically Laserdisc type games.
Right.
Without the necessity for a Laserdisc player, which at the time was, you know, a good $1,000 investment, you know. But yeah, it was I'm quite surprised that Night Trap didn't get ported to things like the Laser Active. You know, or like things like that. But I guess nothing was ported to the LaserActive. but anyway, even like Dragon's Lair wasn't ported to that. And like, if you're a platform and you don't have Dragon's Lair,
right?
You failed.
Are you really a platform at that point?
I mean, Jaguar CD had you know, there's. There's very few platforms that didn't have Dragon's Lair in some form or another. The NES had a Dragon's Lair, Super NES, Game Boy. You know, basically every system possible had it. So, anyway, I first played Night Trap on the 3DO.
Oh.
Which is a much better version of it. It's much, much better video, full color palette. I'm guessing probably it was also better than the 32X version, just because because of the color palette, but probably fairly similar, because the 32X version is apparently pretty good, but the original Sega CD version is pretty grainy, for one thing, the video screen size is small to keep it going at a reasonable frame rate.
Right.
And then the main thing is the limited color palette. What was it, 56 colors at once? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you need basically 256 to make video that looks like something like video, you know.
Which is why animated GIFs are, those have to do a lot of tricks to make things look nice.
But anyway, Night Trap was always because of the controversy. Talk about the controversy now. Go. You were telling me about how Tipper Gore was.
Well, it's
having a problem.
Oh, good grief! Like, I can't imagine this game is so tame compared to today's standards. Like, so
it came out with
tame.
It came out with a teen rating, right?
It didn't. Was there even ratings at the time? I think
No, but the Switch version came out with a teen rating.
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah.
No, at the time it had no rating.
Yeah, because there was no rating system.
Led to the rating
system.
Yeah,
I was like, what do you mean? Oh, yeah, the Switch version might be a teen. But yeah, it's definitely super tame. And I think what was like they objected to like you were like spying on women in locker rooms or something like that, and they were convinced it was pornographic. But dude, like there's actually some pretty good gameplay ideas in there too.
If you look at the cover though, the original cover,
yeah.
Which I think is the version you got of your Switch version, right?
I think it's reversible though.
It's totally reversible.
Yeah,
the one that's facing out for me is the Sega is the remake Sega CD looking one that has the live picture. But the other cover that could be was like the red cover that looks like a drawn image. Which one did you get?
The former, I think.
Okay. But when you look at that cover, it does look pretty racy, because like, you know, there's a lot of cleavage. It's Night Trap. It's so tame.
I know. So
it's only slightly different from the racier episodes of Full House.
Yeah.
Racier episodes of Full House. Sorry, I'm letting that quote sink in. Okay. Anyway, continue.
This led to the congressional hearings and all the stuff in the rating system, and Nintendo. Well, I'm sure we'll get to it eventually, but Nintendo's problem with censorship and their family friendly image caused their own problems with the games like Mortal Kombat,
Sweat Drops.
Yeah, I got punched in the face. Ooh, I'm sweating a lot. This is so weird. Actually, there are some very interesting differences made for the Super NES version of...
The fatalities.
Yeah, I would love to go into that. I actually have a whole bunch of clips of those up on the YouTubes, on the Some Orange Guy channel, if you want to check those out. They're all there. I'm sure lots of other people have copies of those too, but I'd love to go into more detail about what those differences are. But yeah, you know, this was around the time too that they wanted to put rating systems on music, you know, and my now personal hero Dee Snider, who they expected to be just the avatar of coarseness and vulgarity, shows up and like makes this very compelling point about music and censorship in the industry and how this is all completely ridiculous. And it's almost as if you shouldn't confuse flash and substance for considered discourse. I'm just saying. So, you know, now both these things have ratings, and Night Trap is so far below the worst thing that you can get right now.
I mean, even at the time, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think it was the fact that it was like, because like, what else was around at this same time? Well, take Smash TV.
Right.
That game is way more violent, and it's red blood on the Super Nintendo. And I guess the fact that it didn't look realistic. I think that was the thing. But if you play Night Trap, there is nothing realistic about Night Trap. Nobody talks like that. Nobody has impromptu theme song parties. you need to play this game,
yes,
man.
Yes, this will happen. This will happen.
I mean, I've never beat it though. I never beat it when I was playing it on the 3DO, and I have the Japanese version of it for Sega CD, but it's entirely dubbed in Japanese, which actually is awesome. But
I was gonna say,
because if it wasn't quite campy enough already, try adding a bad dub with voices that really don't fit the characters. Actually, I think on the Switch version, you actually can change the language to Japanese, so you might actually be able to try this.
Oh my god!
It's worth doing. And what's really cool is for some of the different versions of it, they've actually filmed a few sequences differently they brought the cast back.
Oh, wow!
Years later, because originally the sequence where they were explaining to the player how to play the game was holding up the controller for the canceled Control Vision system.
Okay.
So they redid it with a Sega controller. But then it got re-released for like 3DO, and they brought them back and did it, I don't think with a 3DO controller, I think with a generic controller, which makes sense.
Sure.
You know, because they didn't know what it was going to be ported to next. But there's multiple versions of some of the tutorial stuff done with different controllers and things. I think that's pretty cool.
Wouldn't it be great if they did a version for the Switch? Everyone's like 30 years older.
That would be awesome. That would be so cool. But still, like, filmed with, like, 80s grain or something. You know, sure. Oh, my gosh.
I'd play that.
If you're listening, Night Trap, you should do that.
That's a trap!
But, I mean, the concept is very interesting. Do you want to go through the concept, or you want...
No, go for it.
Well, basically, you're watching a movie, and everything happens in real time, and you can switch between all these different security cameras. You have to protect these girls having a slumber party in all its 80s glory from these kind of vampiric monster things. I still don't really know what they're supposed to be, but you can activate traps if you can get the timing right, but you have to be looking at the right screen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, so like the first time you play through the game, you'll be, you know, you can't see the whole story. You have to move around because everything's happening in real time. If a character leaves the room, you can follow them to the other room that they're mm-hmm. going to be in. It's really quite mm-hmm. an interesting concept. But to beat the game, to keep everyone safe, you have to be switching around at the right moments so that you can trap these guys. Otherwise, you see the sequences of them being having like blood extracted from them, which again looks really campy and cheesy, but at the time was seen as like the nail in the coffin for games without ratings. So
mm-hmm. yeah, it just I like the idea of this because the fact that they had to like design it and film everything, and then you have these stories running in parallel. I mean, like Majora's Mask got nothing on this game, right? Like it's a very, very interesting concept, and it leads to a lot of great replayability, and it's not just like, you know, a one and done, oh, there's one sequence to go through, I know what to do now, and then I'm good. It's yep. like, no, there's more fullness to it than that, and I really am looking forward to finally playing this this piece of history. But it's been a little while since my copy arrived, so
yeah. Actually, I'll tell you something exciting. Double Switch, which was also made by Digital Pictures and was made wasn't one of the games originally planned for that canceled system. It was made from the ground up, knowing it would be ported on current systems. Double Switch is also coming to Switch.
What?
I'd like a Switch and a Switch with a side of Switch. Yeah. it was on Sega CD. It was on Saturn. Were the original platforms it came out on. Windows a little bit later than that, and then. It got ported to PlayStation 4. Actually, Limited Run Games just finished there, or maybe it's still going on, the PlayStation 4 version they've been distributing.
Okay.
But at the time, everyone's like, what about Switch? But I guess it just took a little while more to negotiate the rights. But yeah, a Switch version is coming, and I haven't played this one. But I hear it's like, it's also a trap-em-up, you know what I mean? Like... It's also the same type of story where there's all this video happening and you've got to switch between the different screens and trap the bad guys in time. So I'm gonna buy this. Dang it! I just said I was gonna stop buying. Curse you, Limited Run Games. Anyway, but apparently it's a much like a higher budget. Thing. So actually, I don't know if that's going to be good or bad when it comes to that, because I think the 80s camp is definitely one of the things that makes Night Traps. I'm sure this will be 90s camp, though. I mean,
right.
It ain't going to be Spielberg. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Double Switch is coming soon. I can't wait to buy it and then not open it.
Oh, for the love of people. What's in your pile of shame then, besides all those things you mentioned?
You know what? I know I've been doing mostly piles of shame lately, but I am going to do Future Retro today. Which kind of leads to a pile of shame. I mean, like, there's shame involved, but...
Shame!
So, I picked up one of the games that, again, I mentioned earlier would be like a system seller game for me. Originally, I had bought a PlayStation 3 to play Valkyria Chronicles. Mm-hmm. That's why I bought it.
Okay.
It was the game. It was done by the people who did Skies of Arcadia and Sakura Taisen. You know, some of my favorite games ever. So that's why I bought a PlayStation 3. Just basically to play that game. I got a lot of enjoyment out of other games on the PlayStation 3 afterwards, but that was my killer app. And I was going to pick up a PlayStation 4 to play Valkyria Chronicles 4, which Ooh. Is the latest game in the series. But then they announced that there's going to be a Switch port. So I waited for that to come out, and I've got it, and I was going to play it, and then I didn't. First of all, because I bought the special edition and I want to do an unboxing video. Yes, 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 yes. But second of all, because it's been 10 years since I played the original one. And the two in between are very different types of games. The second one is kind of almost like a high school dating sim, which also has World War II like battles, if that makes sense.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
And the third game never got released in English. There's a fan translation, but that's beyond my level of whatever to get it up and running. But the first one, apparently there are some crossovers with characters, so it's a totally a standalone game, Valkyria Chronicles 4, totally standalone, but I was like, you know what, I'd really like to replay the first one. But so I downloaded it. Again, limited run games. I mean, if you decide to do a physical copy of this one in the future, I already bought it, and yeah, I'll buy it again. I'll buy it again. Limited run games, if you do a physical version, I will buy it again. You've got me. You've got me. But anyway, I picked up the digital one, and it's basically the PlayStation 3 game, but in a portable form. But it has all of the DLC already in it. Like, ooh. The game, you know, the game I paid, you know, when it came out, I paid, I don't know, $60 for it. And I never bought the DLC for it at the time because I don't think I even had a PSN account, you know. Mm. So I missed that. So I'm playing it again, but part of it's going to be for the first time. And it's so good. It really still is so good. Like, the graphics at the time were breathtaking because it looked like a painting come to life. The art style they had like a canvas filter on everything. It looked great. Mm. And now it's less impressive, but it's so much more impressive that I'm playing it on my sofa, you know, on a handheld. Mm-hmm. And so have you played any of this series?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you really should. You really, really should. The first one's only $20. You should really try it. I recommend it. It's got a great story, tons of characters, crossover from Skies of Arcadia. You played Skies of Arcadia.
I watched people play Skies.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
You're killing me, Smalls. Okay. But you know what? I'm going to call you Smalls from now on because you're significantly taller than I am.
It's hilarious.
But anyway, yeah, you should play that as well. But you see, that's the thing. This is the rabbit hole of Pile of Shame.
Yes.
Is because by playing this again, whereas I am enjoying this game very much, and I've put in several hours to it already, and I'm really, really having fun with it, it decreases the chance that I'm ever going to play Valkyria Chronicles 4, that I'm ever going to get to it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because by the time it comes out, Smash is out and the new Pokemon is out, and you know, there's just not enough times. So that's why I'm going to say right now that I'm finally starting to welcome the all digital future.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to stop buying video games.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
If I can't buy physical games anymore, I think that's where I finish. You know?
I can't.
That's the end of my story.
I can't even right now. What?
Oh, I mean, this is what I say now, but it'll take is Shenmue 4 to get me to go back into it. But no, I mean, like, I think I'm going to buy games a lot less, you know, when, because buying physically allows me to have some resale value, to decorate my shelf nicely. Like, when games are all digital, I think I'm going to buy less games.
Okay.
You know, I think the collecting instinct is, like, a lot of these limited run games, I did not buy them digitally, you know, but I'm buying them physically because that was the difference, you know.
Okay.
I'm willing to pay $35 after shipping to get these games physically, but I wouldn't have paid $10 to buy them digitally.
Huh. Huh.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, we've had these discussions before, so I won't challenge you on this.
Yeah, please look back to any of our previous podcasts.
So I understand. But, I understand.
Yeah, I have a problem. But that's the thing. If there's no physical anymore, I think I'm going to go back and start playing some of the older games.
Whoa.
Like, I think I might delve more into my library. Like, as it was, I played so much retro game during the dark days of the end of Wii and the early days of Wii U. Like, Wii U had a lot of very good games that I enjoyed very much, Splatoon and things, but, you know, releases that really spoke to me were kind of few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
So I used that opportunity to really delve into, like, indie games, virtual console games, and previous systems. Like, I played tons of Sega Saturn during the Wii U years.
Sure,
you know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure, okay.
And so, like, the thing is with the Switch is that there's many people would say that the Switch doesn't have much to play because, especially younger gamers, you know, a lot of the focus on the AAA Western titles, they don't have a lot of those. But for, like, quirky, independent, small-budget Japanese games, which is basically what I love to play, there's so many.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And things, and, like, games that used to be Kickstarters, you know,
right.
There's so many, you know, and a lot of just a lot. There's way more available to me now than I could possibly play. There's so many games on my wish list that I cannot afford, you know, that, like, I'm good for games for, like, a long, long time. So, and this is what I tell myself. I can keep buying those limited run games because if I don't play them now, eventually when I'm so fed up with, you know, microtransaction, DLC, always online, you know, all the things about modern gaming that annoys me, when it finally gets to my breaking point, I'm just going to retreat into my little cave and finally open up those limited run games.
I mean, it's good to plan for retirement.
Yeah. I mean, you know I'm lying. I mean, like, I'm not lying. I mean, I'm lying to myself.
Yeah,
because,
of course.
Again, there's no way I'm going to stop buying new games unless they really are all, you know, World War II bald space marine shooters, you know, like, oh. that I don't care of. But there's always going to be games coming out that I want to play. I don't know.
I mean, listen, you know, so far so good. It's been quite a few years, so.
But anyway, so there's the shame is that I haven't started Valkyria Chronicles 4, but the joy is that, like, there's always something fun for me to play.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. There are a lot of really, really nice things that I've been playing recently. Octopath Traveler I picked up when I was in the States, mm-hmm. that I haven't delved into too much, but, you know enough that I really like it. There's the Xenoblade expansion, which I haven't delved into yet, but, I mean, I put 200 hours into the original game.
Oh, wow.
into Xenoblade Chronicles. I did so many of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, sorry. I did a lot of the side stories and things like that. There's a lot of content there, and that expansion, which is a game in itself, I'm looking forward to starting, when Christmas Vacation rolls around, because that's one I don't want to play in small batches. I want to play that in giant meaty chunks. But what's nice about Valkyria Chronicles is everything's divided into like little tiny chapters. There's some epic battles, but in between there's lots of little stuff you can do. It's a very nice pick up and play game. So that's my game right now.
Dang. Well, cool.
What are you looking forward to right now? What's I mean, you mentioned that your kids are definitely going to force you into buying Pokemon Let's Go.
I mean, I guess Smash Brothers is up there, but I mean, do I just want another Smash? I didn't really get into the Smash Brothers 4 Wii U and 3DS
I agree. Those the 3DS one I loaned to my brother about a month after it came out, and he still hasn't returned it, and I haven't bugged him about it because. No. Getting it back would just mean that I had it on my shelf. Because with the Switch one coming out, that's my portable Smash Brothers taken care of right there. And right. Since it includes basically everything from every previous game.
Right. I'm not going to buy the DLC for the old stuff at this point. Yeah.
I mean, I just can't see myself going into the 3DS version like... What am I in the mood for today? I'd like to play the same game, but I'd like it to look worse.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that's the problem with a lot of... I have the same problem with the Wii U, really, because now that I've rebought, Mario Kart and Captain Toad, and soon... I don't know if I'm going to rebuy Super Mario... new Super Mario Brothers U. I don't think I'm going to rebuy that one. But regardless, pretty much every game of substance that I really liked on the Wii U has been ported, other than Tokyo Mirage Sessions. That's basically going to be the only thing that's going to get me to hook up my system anymore.
Okay. Yeah, but I can't really think of anything off the top of my head that I'm really looking forward to. You know, I have more piles of shame than I'm sure I'll talk about in the future, such as Skyrim for the Switch, just because it's on the Switch. Yeah. I haven't finished Old Man's Journey yet. You know, I know.
I watch. What's nice is I can spy on you right now to see what you play through the Nintendo Network, and I'm like, wow. He's had Skyrim for how long? He's put an hour into it.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad. I've been playing a lot of Splatoon 2 lately because that's what my kids are doing, and the Splatfest kind of got me back into it.
Oh my gosh, that was so fun.
Wasn't it?
Oh man, that was fun. I really, really enjoyed that. I mean, I didn't play much. My daughter, needed to get up to, what was it, like... treat queen or whatever.
Rank I didn't or whatever. Quite get there. Got real
no
close.
I only played like five or six battles. I got very few shells. It doesn't matter though. I like a lot of my enjoyment came from like seeing her play, but I gotta tell you, it really started to tempt me to get a second Switch.
I think, oh, that's a podcast in and of itself.
Yeah, it really would be, but like, because I was just like, oh man, I would really like to, be on the same team with my daughter. I'd really like to do that. Mm-hmm. And, the only way is to, and my gaming time is also being, like, the amount of window that's open to actually play games, it used to be that my daughters were fine with watching me play a game. This time has ended.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely want to play themselves now. So, yeah. Let's save that for another podcast.
I'll just leave you all with this thought that some release investor notes has shown that we may be getting a hardware refresh next Christmas.
Yes.
So that...
I have many things to say about that as well.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Let's save that as well.
Okay.
Let's save that as well.
Do you have a question for Famicom Denchi Mail? Tweet us at Famicom Dojo with the hashtag Denchi Mail. Call us at 608-492-1923 and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the podcast or in a new video response. Leave a comment on this episode or one of our other videos. Or if you just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can even send us a link to your YouTube video to be added to our official Denchi Mail playlist. Head over to famicomdojo.tv/podcast for more details. Well, I guess in that case, we don't have much more to say since we front-loaded our Famicom Dojo video news this time. But I did want to make sure that we gave credit where credit is due to...
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen. but also Brian at UUP Director, who first demoed to us that... downloading the Famicom channel for the Nintendo Switch Online worked just fine from a Japanese account.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I just assumed that it wouldn't, so I didn't even try when I first got it. So, yeah, thank you so much. By the way, put this in the liner notes, but everyone should add him on Twitter because he does some awesome stuff.
Oh, for sure.
And let's see, shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Mario, Mario the Hat, goes by different names, but for the constant enthusiasm, and when I sometimes forget about Famicom Dojo for a while, to nudge me back into that. let's see, who else? At Retro Gamer Girls, Retro Game Girl. Oh, hold on.
I think that was
It's Retro Gamer Girls, right?
Right, because the singular version, I believe, was taken at the time.
Yes, but another great Twitter to follow, and sent me an amazing piece of art recently. Did you see that?
I think so.
I tweeted about it a few days ago, but I just out of the blue got a package and a very, very nice note saying that we were kind of the we inspired her love of the Famicom.
Oh yeah.
I was cutting onions at the time, so have been some tears, but
sure enough, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I saw it before it got sent to you.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. But yeah, just very, very cool stuff there. Any other shout outs you want to give?
Oh goodness. I mean,
There's so many.
I've not been spending enough time on the social medias for this stuff. I guess I just wanted to give a shout out then to all of my ex Powet Mooks who were in Chicago this last weekend for TFCon. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to be there with you. I've been going through a lot of things in my man cave. Some Transformers that I haven't seen in like a decade. Like I didn't realize I had so much G1 stuff. Like I think the last time I went to a convention with these guys was 2011 out at BotCon in Pasadena. And that must be where I picked up a lot of the stuff and then immediately put into boxes because I had a child.
Yeah. I like that on your Twitter feed there's constant like, hey, look what I bought that I forgot
about. Yeah, I had like a complete G1 Defensor.
You posted like several times that.
I didn't know that I had like, because I had, what was it? Like I had First Aid, great character in the IDW comic book series. And I'm like, I really should get the rest of this Defensor. And then Avery keeps asking me to find my my masterpiece Megatron because there's a box for it, but we can't find the actual toy. And then I find a complete Defensor. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know I had this.
I've done that with games before. I'm like, I think I used to have this game, but I sold it. So I'll buy it again, and then I'll find the first one. And I'm like, well, guess I have two now. Well, luckily for doubles now, I have my online shop. So,
I mean,
that helps a lot.
Yeah, well, there is that. More of that self-denial, I think.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Like, like, no, this isn't a hoard. It's a it's a business.
I just want to give a shout out to my kids for again the aforementioned Transformers. Well, first of all, you know, for encouraging me to stay on the bandwagon and get the Nintendo Online stuff. But also for as many times as they've played with my masterpiece Optimus Prime, not breaking it at all in any way so far. I know, right?
Wow.
I know. They're all three kids who are six and under. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Have been doing a very good job. Oh yeah, and masterpiece Soundwave and all his little cassettes too. They've been doing a very good job so far.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine my son being anywhere near that thing.
Well, next time you visit.
All right. Next time I visit, my son will break your toys.
That sounds good.
oh my gosh. Next time I visit, I'm going to be bringing four kids. I think
it'll be our turn to visit.
It's your turn. You guys should visit here.
I haven't. Here. For those who are keeping track at home, I have not been back to Kyushu since 2006.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. The last time you were here was before Famicom Dojo existed.
Right.
It was the origin of Famicom
Dojo. Yes. That was, I mean, I've been back, of course, for like Tokyo Game Show, but that's
2011.
Yeah.
That's still 7 years ago.
I know. We're still on their mailing list.
Yeah, I know.
Getting any time we want.
They just remind me, hey, let's go next year.
Are we committing to this?
I'm not going to the States next year because I can't afford it.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And I'll have a very little baby, but I can try. I'll have to come up with something clever to say to my work because it's weekdays. Mm. But my friend Sean is visiting and he likes video games. No.
He doesn't want to visit the sticks. We're going to go to Tokyo.
He's getting married again.
No.
In Tokyo.
Oh, goodness.
Because there was legal problems with the first time. Oh, good God.
And that is your problem? Why? No. All right. Let's try to make a concerted effort. I think we should try. That's a good shout out. Shout out to Dave and Patrick for being our representatives at Tokyo Game Show for a few years after the 2011 show, sending back wonderful pictures and updates and keeping us abreast of what's going on. So you guys rock. Oh, goodness. You know, I just remembered it's right before Halloween and we had a great podcast. Yep. With Dave and Syndra about some spooky things, which I think
that
I should...
Sounds to me like that would be a good rerun.
Yeah, definitely should rerun that. But we made some plans we never followed up on doing more of those, and now I feel like we should do that thing.
We should definitely do that. Okay, cool. And if you haven't been shouted out to... Oh! Satoshi Matrix.
Oh, of course.
I'm shouting out to Satoshi Matrix. I just watched your video comparing the three different versions of Tetris the other night again because I forgot exactly what all the differences were, and it was a super cool video. And thanks for always letting me know about the games that I should be playing and making me feel guilty for not finishing them because it actually does prompt me to start playing again.
Oh, no.
Okay.
All righty. Well, thank you, one and all, all of you unnamed listeners who have been waiting so patiently, especially one who harassed me in person recently to get this done. You know who you are. This is your fault. I hope you're happy.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't you.
Okay. Because
Oh, yeah. All right. Thanks.
I've seen you in person recently.
Thanks to Vink for being like, hey, I want a podcast? And I went, sure. I mean, that's really all it took. So
I was just like, this might be the last chance for a few months. Yeah. So So sorry, guys, if there's a lot of reruns after this, that's why we made this one extra long.
That's better than nothing.
Yes.
How about that? Okay. Better than nothing. Famicom Dojo, better than nothing. Yep. I guess then until the next time, the Dojo is...
better than nothing.
Fair enough.
Full of senpais who are noticing.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs One More Continue and RPG were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes or amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Sled Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.